I could do. Rabbi Thurm suggested Hilchas Kriya Satira. For now on, there's a new rule. Thursday, you have to tell me the topic. Not 11:46 on Friday morning. Right, you know what? For now on, I'm kicking people out. Okay? Get out. Get out. Just get out, bro. No, either we can talk about halacha, take a topic. I'll say a lot of halachas, lots and lots of them. That'll be in Hilchas Kriya Satira. Or I can tell you an interesting aura that I had.
Yes,
stories.
I mean,
we do part of halachas. Lots of halachas.
It's up to you. I'm just, you know.
Maybe never finished Yeshu.
Yeshu? Yeah, Yeshu is finished.
Such a decrepit man.
A haspin for Yeshu? January 7th was yesterday. Not today, it's January 8th. It's already.
One year,
such a decrepit human.
Decrepit individual. Such a decrepit Jew. Wait, so what do you say? I have an interesting aura. But it's not a lachadik. It's not a lachadik. It's just life changing, but it's not a lachadik.
The life changing
aura. Let's get
that lacha. Life changing.
Who wants the ha'ara and who wants the lacha? Ha'ara?
Oh yeah.
No, I don't care. I mean,
fine, we'll take
put your feet down. Halacha wants the halacha. I think I'm bedafka doing now the halacha. I'll show you, okay? Who's boss?
I'll show you who's boss.
I don't care what people. Right, I'll say the aura. If I can say it fast, I'll say some halachas at the end, right? But it's interesting aura. It's interesting aura. Okay? I don't know if I should taper in that one thing.
Yeah.
We'll raise it if we have to. Okay. Like, the emphasis is the Etzim Aura, that you heard most of it from me yesterday. But the Etzim Aura, you can go. The Etzim Aura, Rabbi Yankiv Zichron of Levracha said. Rabbi Yankiv has, if you look in Rabbi Yankiv and Emesis Yankiv, a lot of times he has very, like simple ideas that there's a lot of amkus to them. But he badeks them, he covers them up with the simplicity. You know, it's like an interesting idea, right? But it's a tremendous amkus. In our world, we live in a world that doesn't have shadim and kishif, magic, and all these things. Right? Probably last year I gave you guys a shiur probably about Hilchus magic.
Yeah.
And we're very like, you know, we're intrigued by magical things. You know, if they would tell me right now that there's a, in front of the mikvah dart and there's a guy, right, and he's taking a stick and he's turning it into a snake and he's taking a schnitzel and he's turning it into a herring. I don't think I would have an oilum here at the shiur. I wouldn't be here. Right? If they tell you, you go over there, there's a guy, you go inside, you pay 50 shekel, he's going to take water, turn it into blood. Right? Oh, I don't believe it. I'm going to. 50 shekel? All right, said it. 50 shekel, I'll go. We like these things. We're intrigued by it. But we don't really like. Right? So when we read this, it's like some, science fiction. I can't say novel or movie. It's like some science fiction. YouTube clip or something. I don't know. Right? It's like some science fiction thing that we don't really connect to, right? I think I'm right, turning sticks into things and turning kinim into people into tachshchin and dust and dever and, the Brisker Rav says that what was barad? Barad is not like you think, just like hailing fire and stuff. Barad was heat-seeking missiles. Right? Because if it was a mitzvah, he was outside. If this fellow, this Arab was outside, he wasn't afraid. I'm not scared of anything. Right? I'm not scared at all. All of a sudden you hear like thunder and lightning. You see like a gansasher yotzer puddle under it. I'm not afraid of anything. All of a sudden he realizes he made a little bit of a mistake. Right? So he starts running. Right? He starts running. And he's running. Right? And all of a sudden, and it's coming, and the bard is coming. And it stops at the red light. Right? And then like he's safe inside the house. No. If you're in the house, it's not a problem. All of a sudden, you're not. Right? Who is it? Borod. Was having a good time. There's no shayla. But that's what the Brisker Rav says. The pshat, because the lashon is, it fell specifics. It wasn't hailing. It fell on specific. Ahmed, Yasir, his sister, his daughter, 18 wives. And that was the, but it's all science fiction. Lahavdol, I've been kodesh l'chayil. Why is it that we feel like this and we're so disconnected from this? So the pshat is, again, I'm maybe being maisif, Hunter Bianca, give a word or two, but why is it that we feel like this? Because we live in a world that has no kishif and no shadim. Now we know, we always hear, though there's somebody who could do this in the Far East. Far East is like saying in Mars. In the Far East, there's somebody who could do an operation by just looking at you. Okay. But we're very removed from Kishef, am I right? We're removed from Shadim. We all read these Gemaras and Brachas about like chickens and chicken feet. And we want to like, you know, wake up in the morning and see the Shadim. And, you know, you have your roommate and he's learning Brachas. And all of a sudden around his bed the night before, there's an entire chicken coop and a dozen, whatever. He wants to wake up in the morning and see the Shadim. We live in a world where it's removed from. So Rabbi Yankiv is Mar. Why is it that the Rebbeinu Shalom brought, I guess, we'll ask it like this. Why is it that he brought Kishef in the first place? And where did it go? Where'd it go? Okay. And now he says the aura, which at first you can hear the aura, it's going to sound like it's not so negar in our lives. You see, I think it's a big aura. And Rabbi Yankiv is just trying to say the Vart. So Rabbi Yankiv says that the Rebbeinu Shalom created in this world, like we call it like a Zelu Mazeh. In other words, there had to be an option of Bechira. You know, if you had a Moshe Rabbeinu, a Nevuah of a Moshe Rabbeinu, which was such clarity. You see this Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Emes Moshe Rabbeinu. And he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you see the things he says comes true. And so then, you lose all choice. You lose all Bechira. You have no choice, right? The person, and the whole world had to be created in a Zahoifin that a person can have Bechira. So that otherwise he can get, otherwise everyone knows it would be Lamed to Kesufa, we would just get our Schar and we wouldn't feel the Schar, etc., whatever it is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create the world Zelu Maseh, that there was a Bechira. Okay? That's the Metzius. So Mela, he created Kishuf, Shadim, that it looks like there are other Koichis in this world. There are the Koichis and whatnot and that. So Mela, a person can think like, oh, maybe the Kishuf is right. Maybe the Shadim is right, right? And that's the choice. Now he makes a choice. He has Bechira, he can choose bad, he can choose time. Avada, if he's emistic, and he has a choice between a Moshe and a Bilam, he'll choose Moshe. Because Moshe's got the Nevuah, but Moshe's a Moshe. But there's at least a choice. You can't say anymore like it's so clear. You see, they could also turn sticks into frogs and into schnitzels and dacha. So you sort of, you know, it's a Bechira. That's what he says. So Rabbi Yankiv goes on, he says an unbelievable thing. He says, so that's why in our world, we don't have Nevuah. We're in the world after Nevuah. So since we're in the world after Nevuah, so in this world, there's no more necessity for Kishuf and Shadim. And that's why, Taka, nowadays, you don't have Kishuf and Shadim. So Shainara. Okay, that's now you can understand the problem. We don't have it, because we don't have that problem anymore. If we would have Nevuah, we would have no Bechira. Because, Moshe, you would choose the Nevi'im. But now we don't have Nevuah anymore. The end. Rabbi Yankiv goes on, he says, that's a pshat in the Rambam. Everyone knows the famous Rambam. The Rambam says there's no Kishuf, no Shadim, everything you read in the it's not true. It's not true. Rambam, exactly what the Rambam says. Now, the Goyin in Kufa in Tess says the strongest Lashon in the entire Goyin in all 1,705 Simanim. He writes, this Rambam was caused by the philosophers. This is the Rambam, it's not the Rambam, it's the philosophers that the Rambam read. He shouldn't have read it. The Goyin took this very seriously. The Rambam's making a mistake. Of course, he says, Chas v'sholem, the Goyin writes against the Rambam. Chas v'sholem, Avada there was Kishuf and Avada there was Shadim. So Rabbi Yankiv again in a simplistic goyf, and he says, so, what's the pshat? So he said, no, that's not fair. Because look, in the time of the Maroyim, there was still a certain level of not Nevuah, but a major Ruach HaKadosh. You know, Gemara says, it's almost like if I had to cartoonize Gemara. The Gemara talks about Rebbe's meeting with Antoninus. So Antoninus couldn't have people meeting Rebbe, couldn't meet him and get in trouble. So Gemara Vadizar says that Rebbe told him, listen, you know, Antoninus told him, never bring anyone here. There's anybody that comes, I have to kill because nobody can find out. And that was the rule. Anytime Rebbe would come, the guard would come, and then Antoninus would have that guard killed. Right? Because he was afraid that the guard would tell on him, right? So one day Rebbe came with Reb Chanina. Right? Okay, so Rebbe comes with Reb Chanina, he walks there, and now outside there's two dead guards. Okay? You know, yesterday's and today's and whatever. Right? So there's two dead guards. So Antonina sees this and he says to Rebbe, now you have to understand the picture, right? Now there's a blurb, right? Next cartoon, right? Outside, there's Reb Chanina with two dead guards. Oh no, I'm gonna get in trouble probably. They're gonna think I killed them. Now back inside, right? So Antonina says to Rebbe, what are you doing? I told you not to bring anyone. So Rebbe says to him, you told me not to bring any barnash, any humans, right? Okay? That's what you told me. So he says, so? Antonina says, so? Back outside. So what am I going to do? I'm going to get in trouble, right? So Chanina, right? Das Trias Amese. He says, okay, get up. Get up, it works at Sambach. Get up. Right? All of a sudden they start stretching. You're like, oh, right? What was that all about? Right? Back inside, all of a sudden Reb Chanina walks in with the two dead guards, and Antonina says, what's going on here? What happened? So Rebbe says, see, I told you, he's not a human. Lav Barnash. Right? So when you lived in a world like that, when there was an Abaye and a Rava, he sort of lost Bechira also. Right? How much? He could be Mechaya Mesim. So Mela Zelu Mazeh, there was still Zakhtar Biankiv, Kishif, and Shadim to a certain extent, a lower level, in their times too. Right? And that's why he says, when the Rambam writes that there's no Kishif and Shadim, he's by us. Because now it's bottled that tremendous level. We don't have that anymore. We definitely don't have that level anymore of people that can be Mechaya Mesim. What do we have? We have great, you know, Rebbe Chanan. Said, everyone knows there's a story of the Dibbuk with the Chafetz Chaim. There's a certain Dibbuk. Right? And this is a documented story that all the, we have Mamish documented. G'dayli Chareinim, they spoke about it. And there was different things. And it was a phenomenal thing. And the Chafetz Chaim took out the Dibbuk. Rebbe Chanan is written in one place, Rebbe Chanan said that it'll be the last Dibbuk. I'll be like, ah, we all hear that they found the Dibbuk in Mexico City and whatever. That's a guy, you smoke a little bit too much pot. For that's not the Dibbuk. But the Dibbuk, you know, the real Geschmacke, Starke Dibukim, you know, guys that are like in Kavakela, that are, their neshamas are being flung from a blade of grass to a baltrina. This is that type of the Geschmacke Dibukim that we don't have anymore. So they asked Rebbe, why you say that? Why you say that? How do you know we're not going to have any more Dibukim? He said, because this is the end of the Chafetz Chaim. We have the Chafetz Chaim, and the next door won't have a Chafetz Chaim anymore. So when you have somebody with such a level of Nevu, it's not the same level. It's not Chiyas Amazim, right? But when you have that, so you have to have anybody with the Chafetz Chaim, he loses Bechira. So Lumazed, there has to be some other Koyach Hara out there. There's other things in the world, and you can make mistakes. You know, what's the Nevu of the Chafetz Chaim? Rav Aaron once said that when he came to the Sifas of Gedolim, and he was Rashiv of Kletsk, and there was the Chafetz Chaim, so he went over to the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Aaron was known in Europe as Rav Aaron was the Bissel Zegaris, Eloy Rav Aaron. So Chafetz Chaim was talking to him, and he said that Rav Aaron said that he said things that in the next door, right, but he needed to know. Rav Aaron, the Chafetz Chaim packed into the 3 or 4 minutes that they spoke, and whatever he told him was, you know, how he was Miyasid Yeshiva in Lakewood, and how what helped Gantz Yiddishkeit in America. And in 3-4 minutes, he says, but just, you know, but you're not going to believe me, Rav Aaron said. You're not going to believe me, what, Rav Aaron? I get told in 3 minutes I knew everything in the world what to do because of a 3-minute conversation. He says, I'll just give you a dogma that of the Nevuah. He says, he says to me, you know, so Shrekle Chazachim, they ungeheben Mesech Nishgendik. They start Mesechtas and they don't finish them. Are you talking like a Rosh Hashiva? We have to, it's a big thing. They start Mesechtas, they don't finish Mesechtas. Lamashal. So Shrekle Chazach, Sayyid, Akumta learned. He comes and he learns Nazir, and he gets to the 58th Daf, and he gets to the 58th plot of Nazir, and he doesn't finish. Right? Rav Aaron, the year before, got to Nazir Dafn and Ches. And because of Tirdis and Yeshiva, he wasn't able to finish and whatever, and you know, whatever. Right? And you know, it's a Shrekel Chazach, a guy that gets to the 58th plot in Nazir, and there's only another 7 plot, and he doesn't finish. Yeah? You would lose your ability to talk Lashon Hara for at least a week and a half. Right? At least, maybe 2, right? Maybe 3. Right? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo, when you had a world of the Chafetz Chaim, Zelu Mazeh, he created. That's Ad Kan Rabbi Yankiv's Vart. That's Rabbi Yankiv's Vart. Okay? Yeah, what do I think? Just give me one moment, I'm sorry. That's the Rav Yankiv's Har. But I got to tell you an interesting thing. Our Torah, we don't have tzaddikim that do incredible things. Yeah. But it's a different level, right? Everyone knows the story last week, or Chaim Kanievsky. It's a great story. Chaim, last week somebody came, a Yid, not last week, the story came out last week, but a Yid from Gateshead, his name is Yankel Green. So Bal Yisuri Nebuch, he has problems, very bad. He went to Rav Chaim to ask Rav Chaim, can he... you know, what should he do? The doctors say this operation or this operation, which one should he do? So Chaim is looking at the paper, and he's reading the paper, and I saw it with these eyes. That's all you can do, that's it. You can deny the stories, but the ones you see with these eyes, he's reading the paper, and he says to him, no davening, you don't have to do anything. So he says to him, in Yiddish, he says, no, we're not asking you that. We're asking you, what should we do? We should do this operation or that one, right? But and to daven for us, right? And so he says, no, you don't have to. So, you know, if Chaim just said, you don't have to. So he says, yeah, but the doctor knows what's in the cup. The doctors know what's in their cup. Don't do the operation. Okay. So he says, yes, so what should I do? But the foot, the heart, it hurts. You know, what should we do? So he says, Ketzad HaRegel. You learn Ketzad HaRegel, right? And then he turns to me and says, Bavli mit Yerushalmi. I'm practicing. I cannot wait to be the Gadol Hador. It's a long time, but I can't wait. But Bavli Yerushalmi. It's Bavli Yerushalmi. he went back, his uncle Green went to America. He lives in Gates, but I think now he's in America because of his surgery. So he went to back, and the doctors told him that they can't do this operation. If they would have done this operation, he would have died. You know, and he's learning. These guys are great. They're mamish dudes. You know, you can do that. That's not the same level of Chofetz Chaim, though, right? You know. So, Mamela, we have people over here that think if you can, you know, there's once a couple that came to me. They were having shalom bias issues, right? And, you know, I'm not good with these things, but they came with such like you know, we for sure have to get divorced. I said, okay, no. Started out like, you know, he folds the toothpaste and she leaves it unfolded and whatever, and like this, like, you know, very serious things. I'm not saying that, but you know, I said, well, okay, why? He said, well, they went to a Makabel, no, right? And the Makabel said to them that he needs them to bring their ksuva, right? So they brought the ksuva, right? And then I'm not so good at this, but I'll see if I can do it. Right? I need a Makabel chair. Right. Okay. I need like a Makabel chair. I'm practicing being a Makabel too. So he reads the ksuva. He starts shaking. Or she, I don't know. What is it? Can you imagine sitting there and like the person's shaking and he's reading the ksuva? Right? And like what's spelled wrong? Anan Guvrin, some other Aramaic word? What is it? So I don't know if he spoke Hebrew, Yiddish. And he looks like he's a Nora. It's terrible, I can't say. You know, no chadalar. I don't know. What do I do? No, the names are off. You can't be married, it's a mistake. Right? Okay. Give back to Scuba. That's all. Okay, fine. Okay, so they come to me, it's over. Right. Baruch Hashem, I'm into being Sadr Gittin now, and you know, I know how to do it. All for the price of $9.95. So I say, look, I don't know from these things. No. I know you're not going to believe it. He was saying things about me that no one in the world knows. Right? How can you know my favorite ice cream? How can you know my... Right? But nobody knows. And it's true. No. He was saying things that nobody knows. He knew something about me in my childhood. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Not Chayef. Right? Callus, I don't know from these things. I don't know if this is... Come. There's a fellow over here in the Bukharim neighborhood over here named Jacob Hillel. I don't know from these things. Let's go to Rabbi Hillel and let's ask... I don't know from these things, right? So we go to Rabbi... I forgot to tell them that Rabbi Hillel doesn't like these guys. Now there are real emissary Kabbalim in the Welt. I'm not talking... We're talking about, you know... With crystal balls and whatever, and they have koiches, even the bad guys. Right? So we go to Rabbi Yaakov Hillel. I say, Rabbi Hillel, they're saying that they have to get divorced because it says in their ksuva, and I take out the ksuva. Right? It says in their ksuva that the names don't stem. It's such a big problem. They have to get divorced. Right? He starts getting so angry. I said, don't get angry at me. It's now. These people start getting so angry. Why are you angry? What did I do? I didn't do anything. Right? These people, and this and that. And he starts saying, but they knew things, and this and that. He stands up. He points over there. This is like 6 years. I don't know where he lives now, but this was when he lived over there. He points to East Jerusalem. He lives over there still. This is there, right here. He points across the street. Where are we? Okay, over there. There, the bad guy. He points across the street. I know people that live over there, and they could do it for cheaper. And they could do the same thing. Right? And he starts getting all angry and this and that. And I'm going... Are there koiches? There are. Did they know things about him that, you know, that nobody can know? Yes. Is there a koich of tum in the world? Yeah, but there's still a Chaim Kanievsky in the Welt who can do, like, feet tricks and whatever, right? So the Rebbeinu Shlomo had to make again a zelu mazeh. That's our kind of divorce from Rabbi Yankov. So what world do we live in? We're after that. This is my ha'ara. I told you, I have a ha'ara. That was Rabbi Yankov, Kima. But I have a ha'ara. My ha'ara is like this. We live in that world after this. We live in the world after the world of Nevuah. And so what's the Zelu Mazeh? So I'm going to tell you something. This is what I think. I don't know. Now already, the first thing you can't argue, that's Rabbi Yankov. But we live in a world like this. We live in a world that the Torah is so geschmack. Now listen to me a second. I want to explain this, right? The Torah that we have is more geschmack than Rabbi Kiveger and the Ramban had. There's no Shaila. I'm not saying that we live in a world that we have more geschmack in the Torah than Rabbi Kiveger and the Ramban. they probably had more geschmack than we have. That's pretty obvious, right? But the Torah that we have is the most geschmack Torah in the ganze Welt. Much more geschmack. You know, there was a 62-year-old balabas who called me up last year. And he decided he doesn't know how to learn, and he wants to, you know, he doesn't know anything. I'm saying, he's like, oh, so he didn't go to yeshiva or whatever. At 18, he went to work and whatever. He went to like a regular, you know, sifta upbringing and whatever. Okay, you know, psalchem the 10th parak and whatever. And once in a while, he goes to a shir and shav. He doesn't know how to learn. He wants to know how to learn. Yes, now he's a wealthy person. He has the morning off. He wants to know what to do. But he wants to get a lot of yediya and a lot of information and this and that. I told him, all right, look, do like this. Do, is that 9 to 1? 9 to 1. Do from 9 to 11. He can't read a Gemara himself. Take out an art scroll and just read. Right? Start from Brachas and just go. Right? Okay. Right? And then from 11 to 12, you also want, he wants to know halacha, and he wants to know a little Muslim, Chumash, and things like that. So I said 11 to 12, you got to know halacha. So you get this callous guy. You give a donation to his kollel, and he sends you like shirim, and I give you the little series. The little series, okay? Fine. That's 12, 11 to 12 every day. Okay. 12 to 1, set him up with a little bit like, a little bit in Chumash, tell him a little bit of Ramban, Ramban, I can't let him, Zart's called Ramban, fine, check. Right? He talked to me at the Hanukkah time, right? Where are we holding? I haven't talked to him in a year. I just want to say to you what the world we live in now is. What the world of the geschmack of Torah that we have, there's never been a world like this ever. This is, you know where he's up to? He's gone through Brachas. He's gone through Shabbos. He's up to the 73rd daf in Erevin. Right? Usually by the 14th, you either kill your wife or stop, right? And he's up to the 73rd daf in Erevin. Right? And he's going by there. He's learned 250 dafim of Shas in 1 year. Right? And he reads it over and over again. He listens to, as he drives, the tapes and this. He listens to this callous guy from 11 to 12. I go, what'd you listen to so far? Right? That's why he called me. He needs a refill. He's listened to 263 shiurim from me. So yeah, what'd you listen to? I think, okay, you know. Oh, I did all the mini-series. I did all the mini-series? He listened to Nida. He listened to Shabbos. Right? I asked him a few questions. Yeah, tell me something about Shabbos. You're against baby wives, okay? You listen next, right? He listened. I have a mini-series in Basar V'Chalav and Kashrus. It's like 27 shiurim. He listened to all of them. Right? He's listened to Shabbos. He's listened to Nida. He's listened to Basar V'Chalav. He knows about Schnitzel. He knows everything, right? You're very into Schnitzel, but you hold the Brachas Mezayis, right? That's, you know, over. He's listened to Brachas. He's listened to Hilchus Ribbis. Right? This is a year that in the course of 1 year, he said the whole thing with the mortgage, I can't believe it, and whatever. This is a year that in the course of 1 year, afterwards, I asked him, what goes from 12 to 1? He has read the entire Ramban al HaTorah in English. He's now Mekubal. Right? He's learned most of, you know, the guy's learned just Gemara. The guy knows tons and tons of halacha. He's a Pashit Mekubal. He reads 15 minutes a day a Pirish. That's in English of whatever, of the Ramchal on Tfilah. He's a Mekubal that davens like the Arizal's Kavanas, right? In the course of 1 year, we live in a world that the Torah is so geschmack, it's not shayach. Never. Rabbi Kiv Eiger didn't have a geschmack in Torah like we have. Rabbi Kiv Eiger, right, had a geschmack in Torah. But the Torah, what would happen now? Hashem should meichel me. What would happen right now if I would walk into a shir Rabbi Kiv Eiger was giving? So we all know that Rabbi Kiv Eiger knew all the answers of all of our questions, right? But Maisa, you know, how does anybody ever answer up a shir Rabbi Kiv Eiger? And Zvi Kushelevsky, he once told me like this. He's, I said to him, you answer up a kasher Rabbi Kiv Eiger. Like, you know, that's the rule. You can't, right? So he says, no. We are, in Hebrew he said, we're nanasim al gabe anak. It means we're midgets on the shoulders of giants. So here's Rabbi Kiv Eiger, right, throwing a you know, like a missile. You know, a missile. Or Kiv Eiger's throwing a missile. It's Rabbi Kiv Eiger Kasha, right? I get up, I climb up onto the shoulders of Tosis Dorton, right? And there I am on top of Tosis' shoulders. And I say, hey, Rabbi Eiger! And there I am on top of his shoulders, right? And I'm not answering up Rabbi Kiv Eiger's Kasha, but I'm saying, Tosis is this, is that what comes out from the Cheshmer of Tosis. I house Rabbi Kiv Eiger to answer, fine, but the mice, it's Tosis, right? It's ludicrous to say that Rabbi Kiv Eiger knew every svar that ever existed in the history of the world. When we go into read Rabbi Kiv Eiger's Kasha, we have to go with the attitude that he probably knew our answer, right? But he didn't have, the Rabbi Kiv Eiger didn't have a Marim Hoogie Doogie. We have the Marim Hoogie Doogie, and we have the Marim everything. We have everything, right? So I come into the Shia, I'll say to Rabbi Kiv Eiger, well, why can't you? You know, I come into the Shia, I read the Rabbi Kiv Eiger before. I know the Shia he's about to give. And so I come in, and I know, you know, I read all of the Torahs, and I found out that Takahar, Kiger doesn't realize that. Is the scholar the sefer Ma'am Chalava who asked the exact same kasha Rabbi Kivager? And Taka answers. And he answers, why wouldn't you not say like Rabbi Kivager? So you can say, but Rabbi Kivager knew that fine, but now you see. So I'll say, look, Rabbi Kivager, why can't you say this? I'll say, no, you can't say this because of this. So I'll say, yeah, but the, I mean, maybe you could say that you could answer that because of this. So eventually Rabbi Kivager's going, he wasn't as big as Ma'am Chalava, right? He wasn't as big as Ramban. So he didn't have the Ramban that we have, or whatever, I don't know what, right? So we have a much more geshmaka Torah. We have so much. We have so much. They didn't have it. We don't have to believe. We believe that our gedolim, but we don't have to believe that he knew every svara and he was bigger than Rashi. We don't have to believe that. We don't have to believe he was bigger than this and that. So we have so much. We're such a geshmaka Torah. We press one. I told somebody. I told my chavrus yesterday. I had to go by a doctor. So I told, to be fair, put me in like a parsha shirim. I'm giving like five parsha shirim in the next 2 days. Put me in parsha shirim in my little has this little Santa thing, right? See, he presses a button. 47 shurim in English come up in Parshas Vayera, right? And by mistake, another 47 on Parshas Vayera, right? But it's, you know, so Parshas Vayera, 47 geshmak yeshiyim. I'm looking this one, that guy. He gives me callous. This guy's great. Right? Last night, I'm listening in the car. My wife goes, this guy's hysterical. Who is he? You idiot. We got such a geshmak in Torah. It's such a geshmak in Torah. So it's so geshmak. It's so geshmak. This is my hour right now, right? It's such a, there's no shayla. There's no shayla at so geshmak. There's no shayla. There's no shayla. So it's so geshmak. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make epis like Zelu Mazeh. You know, I have, last night, my son asked me if I could show him something in Kedushin. And something shver, he's learning in Kedushin. So he asked me, Shala, I said, you know, I'm not in the Injana, but I remember like a Shita Lenoida Lemi asked this Kasha. You ever heard the Sefer Shita Lenoida Lemi? You guys have a Shita Lenoida Lemi. It's like now it's like a nice safe or whatever. So he says, we have one. And I said, go, yeah, mother. I go, in the Koibitz Mefarshim. He takes out, I have an old Koibitz Mefarshim. Okay, this is not so long ago. This is, you know, I'm not so much older than you, right? I take out the Koibitz Mefarshim from when I was a Bacher, right? 19 years ago. I take out the Koibitz Mefarshim. It's the old Koibitz Mefarshim. Right? You hear the children as they're walking in laughing. Right? He opens up, I should have brought it today. He opens up the Koibitz Mefarshim to the sheet and led to me. The letters are all broken. Because it's like it's written in like you can't read it. You know, when you used to get in the Marmakoyim, it's a sheet and learn to me, right? So you're reading it like halfway down, Chavrusa died already. Right? And then you're like, you know, you get to the Shia, you lost. We live in the Geshmaka. You guys have the Psukim on the page in the Gemara. Right? Do you remember like there was no Psukim on the page in the Gemara? Right? The Rashash, they have Rashash in the back in bold print. You know, I used to read the Rashash, you didn't know where it stopped. Right? So you're like in the middle of all of a sudden you're a neighborhood. What the world happened here? Where'd he go? You give such a geshmak a world. It's so geshmak. It's such a geshmak easy world. It's so geshmak. And the Torah is so geshmak. So what's the Zelu Mazeh? So he made a geshmak the other world, right? You know, I want to tell you something. There's a fellow called Franz Joseph. You guys know a little like history or no? You know Franz Joseph? You know, from he was the Hungarian emperor. Okay? So he lived like a, it's not like saying the English emperor. The English emperor lived in a certain, like, you know, let them eat cake, you know. Hungarian emperor, the Prussian Empire, he lived like Malchus. He lived like the wealthiest man in the world. So if you wanted to say the concept of wealth, you said Franz Joseph, right? If Franz Joseph would come into our world and see the simplest peasant that lives in our world, the simplest peasant, right? He wouldn't believe it. Franz Joseph was like the wealthy, right? This guy, this simple peasant, walks in. Gotta be excused. All of a sudden he hears, flush. Right? Hey, what was that? And Joseph would look in there in our world. What's this thing? Some kind of a I can't say nuclear weapon, but it's right. It's some kind of, what is this thing? It's some kind of a cannon. What is it? He says, no, you go to the bath. Where are the stones? You have to wipe yourself. You know, but I'm such an important person, somebody polishes my stones for me. The simplest peasant in our world, the Gashmiest that he has, the simplest peasant. Franz Joseph never dreamed of. You come over to Franz, you say to him, Franz, here, try this. What is that thing? You give him like a sour stick. What is this? Just try it. Trust me. What do you do with it? Don't give him Doritos because you can't put them down, right? But just give him right? You know, well, no, but we have like rice. They just brought rice over from India. You take this out. Whoa, this thing's really good. You give him a cup of Coke. He never had a cup of Coke before. He never had a cup of Coke. Do you understand? I just, you give him a cup of Coke. What is this? What is this? What is this? You put it inside the lamp, the lantern, right? And it's bubbling. No. Just drink it. Right? He takes the cup of Coke. Shackle, I don't know what they do. He takes a cup of Coke. This is the real thing, man. Coke is the one. This is it. He's wearing fancy people Franz Joseph shoes. Okay? What are fancy people? Lots of straps and this and that. You're taking out a pair of Nike Airs. Jordans. Okay. You take him out. He's like, oh no, I have my feet. He has to walk like this. Like he has to go to the bathroom time. You know, like this. Like this. He walks like this, walks up like this, like this. Right? Just do me a favor. Take this off. Try on these shoes. Okay? He puts them on. All of a sudden, you give me like a basketball. Like, I got that. He's like, whoa, these are kind of like light. I don't feel like I'm wearing shoes anymore. Okay? The smallest peasant in our world, the Gashmias that he has, in the entire prehistoric world of not the 2,000 years ago and 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, they couldn't dream what we have. Right? And then you go to the next slav of what goes on in Ardor and Gashmias and this and that, etc., 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 etc. And this and that, everyone knows. Right? So the Zelu Mazeh. So Rabbeinu Shlomo, in our world, this Torah is so gishmak. There's never been a world like this, never. So what he did was, he had no choice. Right? In our world, so he made that world out there so gishmak. It's so gishmak, but there's no shaila. To whatever extent, and this already, till now, is aura. This is vadai. This is a person like it be made. There's no shaila in the world that to whatever extent you have a gishmak in that world, you ain't going to have it in this. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard for people that says, I would have zero hana in watching a movie now. You think, oh, such a sad. Well, he is. I'll kick you out again, bro. Okay? I will kick you out, okay? I would have zero now. I want to tell you something. I'll kick you out also, okay? I want to tell you something. You think, like, no, I promise you, if I'd watched 3, 4, 40, I would start getting hana again, right? But I would never know. Right? Because when you have such a gishmak in this world, right? See, Masha'in Kain, avifel that you have the gishmak in that world, yeah? So then, there's no shayla. That is Elu Mazeh. You know, Rav Shach, I love this story. Rav Shach, I tell you one story, but I wanted to get the halacha to him. Rav Shach had a say, there was a yid called the Yonis Elam. You heard the Yonis Elam? He was like a Yonis Minsker. He was like a Graysa Eloy before the war. He was a bacher. He was killed, huh? He was a great Jew. Like a little kuntris, like this. Yeah, they have a little kuntris, and he had Mike. Like all the Rosh Hashivas would talk about him. He was like a bacher, and he was in a married keilah. He was murdered by the Ashayim and Gehenim. Rosh Shach had a kuntris. I don't know if it was the Yain Salem or one of the kuntris in the Yain Salem, a different one, whatever. So everyone knew he had this kuntris, right? So somebody told me the story. He went to knock on Rosh Shach's door, and he asked Rosh Shach himself, he's a chashur yid, he's a magachias in B'nai Ber. He asked Rosh Shach, can he borrow the Yainus, I don't know if it's Yainus Elam or the countries years ago. So Shach said he doesn't like lending it out because it's mamish, you know, it's something he's very careful with. He says he maybe could learn it here. But they knew if you learn it in the house of Shach, you can't learn it. It's not Shaykh. Because if Shach sits there, right, and then he gets it and he starts learning, it's over. So he said, no, he'll take it, he'll bring it back in exactly an hour, right? And I'll leave his like his children as an heir of, you know, So Shach goes, okay, Beseder, but you shouldn't tell people because I can't start lending it out, otherwise it'll be ruined. So Shach takes him to the back, right? He opens up the safe, I don't know, moves away the bed and moves away plays his wife and moves away the picture frame, and then behind he opens up the safe. Now Rav Shach, they gave Rav Shach lots of money, right? People would come and the tons of money that went through Rav Shach. It went through his hands, it went straight through Panovich, it went through to Koilim and whatnot. Rav Shach opens up the safe. Inside the safe he moves over the money. Right? In the back there of the safe is the Yainus Elam, or I don't know, the countries. He takes it out with both hands, right? He says, it's such a gishmak. It's such a gishmak a safer. This is what the person told me. It's such a gishmak a safer. He says, look, now the rule is like this. Rav Shach was a learnaholic. Rav Shach, if the face goes to the page, it's over. He's in the zone. Done. Okay? So he takes it like this. He takes the safer. He says, look, I'll show you. It's almost over. He says, look, I'll show you. He wants to show him. So I said, gishmak. So he turns the page like this. He opens it. Okay? He said, look, I'll show you. Look, he starts reading it. Okay? 3, 2, over. Over. Done. Okay? So he stays for like 5 minutes. Over. The glasses are off. Over. Over. Done. There. He left Rav Shach. He asked the Shamash the next day. He said he went again through the whole entire Sefer. Right? Just read and read and read for the next 3 hours. Just read and read and read. Because I'm thankful that you have a good... You know, I remember all the years. I need a chair. I need a chair for this one. I remember all the years. He's so gishmak. We have such a gishmak at Torah. Yes. I remember all the years from Scheinberg between Mincha Meiriv. Scheinberg between Mincha Meiriv. He used to have a minion in his house. Scheinberg had 500 pairs of tzitzis, so he would sit like this in his chair, and it looked like he was leaning, right? Because the whole tzitzis matzah, really, if you look at him, he's really like this, right? It looked like this. I remember seeing this thing, this sight is something that lives in my mind. Between Mincha Meiriv, it looked like light reading. What do you do between Mincha Meiriv? It's like a little Stein Mikra, it's a nice book with stories in it, maybe, right? You know, it's one of these parsha sheets, you know, something nice and geschmack and easy, and a story about Tzaddik and the Gabbai too, remember? But there's Rav Scheinberg, all the years, his feet were this, like on a stool, because at that point he had a problem with his feet, so he looks like this. He has a saber. I was like, you had to see it. This is implanted in my mind. And he's sitting like this. And it looked like, and everyone, and he takes his finger, and this would go on every Friday night. Right? Okay. What sefer was he reading? Like a Reader's Digest. A Meshech Chachma, you know, nice Chana Torah, a Maral Diskin. A Maral Diskin, something geschmack. Everybody can read the Maral Diskin and go, geschmack, right? I look one time, you know. Okay. There's a sefer called the Mikdash David. Okay? The Mikdash David on Zroim. Mikdash David was written by Rav David Rappaport. He was killed also. He was the Magid Shir in Baranovich. Right? He was a Goyin Oilom. He's in the Yeshiva. He was a Magid Shir in the Yeshiva by Evelchanan. He was a Goyin Oilom. He was Goyin Otzim. And he has something like, 100 Simonim on Zroim and then 100 Simonim on Kochim. And it's the shverst, the hardest raid in the world. Right? So I once asked Rav Scheinberg, you couldn't think of maybe some easier, lighter reading, perhaps? He said, no, I never get tanned. The Mikdash David is so beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. Because I feel that you have a geschmack in this world. Then over there, it's not going to be a fight. There's no fight. Okay? But I feel that, he's connected over there. So then he doesn't enjoy it as much over here. It's a beautiful savor. Such a beautiful. He's up to the one on Ayin Aleph about Otz, it's a knocker. It's up to the Shvester, It's so beautiful. Because I feel that you have your geschmack by us. Yeah. So then that world, but it's a fight. It's Zelu Mazeh. Kosh Baruch Hu created it, right? But that's the side. So, I don't know. So I think the horror, you hear it's an interesting horror, no? I think it's an interesting horror. It's Badek Umenusa. There's so much geschmack out there. There's so much geschmack. They never had this before, what the world has now. The Rebbeim. Like, you guys have Rebbeim, like, not Shaykh in the Welt. Right? You have a Rebbeim that they come, they want to teach you Torah in such geschmack oifen. When I was a Bacher in a Shir, this is not so long ago. I'm just showing you the extent, because you also live in a much more geschmack world. There was no, like, jokes in a Shir. There was no, like, a little bit relaxed. It was. I can't explain. I used to go to a shir, Talmud of Briskerov, on Thursday night. That was my outing. Right? My outing, Thursday nights. He lived over here in Strauss, and he had like the chaburas in Kachim. And you come there, it was like, this was the outing. There was always hafganas on Thursday nights. I don't know, nowadays it's coming back in style, but in those days it was like mamish every Thursday night, right? Burning garbage cans, right? Horses, right? Zebras, whatever. And he would Yerushalmi Brisker fellow, learned by the Brisker Rav, and he would knock on the door. Yeah? Okay? Where are those? Right? Inza, don't worry, it's us, Inza Menschen. You'd hear, right? He's for sure convinced the Tzionim are coming to kill him. Right? Open the door, the little chain there. Right? You have to pass through, like, Tudase Hutu. You pass back, you go back. Right? we come in. What was the geschmack? He put out like one little bar of ice cream for us, and he used to smoke Noblies. You know what Noblies are? Okay. Noblies are those green cigarettes. It says on it, you will die and all the people around you too. He just smoked Noblies. The whole place was one big cloud. Right? And he would say, you would try to understand him, it was hard to hear his voice. Right? He would talk very low, it was hard to hear him. And all he wanted to hear was he said the word the Briskerov and the lament on the Briskerov. And he heard the word the Briskerov told him this and that. Right? In our world, he would tell him, he would come in, he would tell you, first of all, you come there, it would be like a whole thing of Charles in front of you. It'd be milk and ice cream, I don't know, bunch of whatever, right? The whole geschmack of the guy in Tzavel, and he would come and he would tell you the svar of the Briskerov, and he would smile and he would tell you it's geschmack. So the whole world of Torah now is so geschmack. So that's why that other world is also so geschmack. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, so there should be a Bechira. But the Bas Seichel, he realizes which one to choose, because to whatever extent you have the Geshmak here, right? So then that world, you don't need the Geshmak anymore. I think it's a good aura. That's what I think. It all comes from Rabbi Yankiv. He was a great Jew. You should have a good Shabbos. Next week we'll talk a lot. Okay.
Bill Gates.
Okay. After the games. Did you hear the aura?
No? Tell me about it.